15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve the Philadelphia area and the entire tri-state area. The signal is great, and our people are alive with pride and getting involved in all of our campaigns, which I love. You can also invite family and friends living all over the USA or any place in the world to come onto our internet site at AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link, and they'll be able to listen right now. And of course, after the program, we always put up a rebroadcast on the front page so that people can hear our opinions and join in and spreading the word, the good word that we work with each week trying to get people together. Today joining us, we're going to have Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store. I've been doing a lot of talking about you this week, Mark. We had some events, veterans events and all. I'll have to tell you about that during today's broadcast. Also, Larkin Connolly, who is the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, Rich Logis, Principal of RJL Technology Integration, will be joining us. And our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. Well, as you know, when you go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, you'll see the four people that I just mentioned. Thank you to each one of them. First, I want to thank you for being such a major force in promoting the needs and concerns of American workers and the large and small businesses, which are struggling to remain in business and keep American workers employed. Everywhere I go, I'm told how people are struggling. Some people tell me there's just not enough products made in America. People walk in the door, they're unsatisfied, and you know they want to see change in America. I've been listening to that for a few years, and I think part of the change started last night, and we'll talk about that. Secondly, I want to know how many of you are taking the challenge to go out and look at labels and discuss with store personnel, call over the manager? A lot of people respect our efforts, efforts like National Small Business Weekend, which is the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month. And another very special event we're celebrating right now is November as American Made Month. And it certainly has made a major difference. On Sunday, I was involved with the Veterans Day Parade in Philadelphia, and I hosted the Veterans Awards Ceremony, and it was really great to see all the quality work that these good people have done and the awards that they received. Looking at labels is what people tell me has really brought them around to seeing what took place in the USA. So what started as a crazy campaign to, you know, sort of get people to look has now come about to be a campaign where people are looking at things and saying, geez, how in the world is none of this stuff made in America anymore? And I tell people, if you go into your closets and you have something in your closet and drawers from 25, 30 years ago, you will find that there has been a number of those products made in the USA for years, including the televisions that people watch. Maybe they're newer versions, but the television should have never left the country. And I'm glad to have people stop me in my travels and let me know how important they think that our message is. So to our panel, thank you, because you've made a major dent in the whole idea of supporting American Made. Also, celebrating November as American Made Month has clearly helped people understand that we need more products on the American marketplace. And it also has helped people understand that with every dollar that we spend on products made and assembled here in the USA, we have the opportunity to help create a positive business environment for our large and small businesses And the end result is more people will have jobs as a result of people buying products that are made here in the USA. Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of you know that this has been a very historic day in American history. Very early this morning, the new president-elect was announced, and I think that it's really now time for all of us to join hands and work together to see what we can do to make America the best place to do business again. I saw so much happening in every area. I mean, maybe, you know, every person wasn't voting for Trump or Hillary, but I think now that the 2016 national election is over and it's put in the history books, it's time for all sides to congratulate President-elect Donald Trump and all of the other national and state officials that were elected or reelected yesterday in the election. And some of them didn't even get their results until early this morning. It's really important at this point that we put the negativity behind us that was so much a part of the campaign. And that a lot of that is caused by media trying to promote one or the other, and the people who are making the television and radio ads. Believe me, I'm in that kind of a field, so I know exactly how they try to push you. So I think yesterday the silent majority in America, the people who work hard, need a job, want to see changes in America's healthcare system, want to see America's infrastructure restored, want to see America's schools opened up once again for the good of our youth, skills put back into the schools. They all spoke. To begin our discussion on yesterday's events, I'm going to ask Larkin Conley, kindly give us a few words. How did you see the election?
Hey, good morning, Michael. Good morning, listeners. Mark, how are you this morning? I was sound asleep last night when my phone started to ding off the hooks, and it was Mark Handel texting the heck out of Rich, and the two of them going back and forth. It woke me up out of a dead sleep. When I went to sleep, no decision had been made. I went to bed about 10 o'clock, 10:15. And when they woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, Donald Trump was on my television accepting the decision of the voters. You know, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. The people have spoken. My son texted me this morning and said, Dad, this is a text message. Dad, I'm afraid I live in a bubble. Now, he lives in Brooklyn, New York, the Brooklyn borough of New York City. And I wrote him back and I said, son, don't feel bad. Hillary Clinton lives in a bubble also. And that's exactly what happened. The Democrats completely lost sight of the citizens of this country. They had no idea how angry people in this country were, and it surprises them now that that this has happened. I also found myself being personally offended that they talked at great length on the news programs this morning about how many white, uneducated, non-college-educated people voted for Trump. I felt like calling CNN and a few others that I was watching and telling them that some of the brightest people I have ever met in my life, I couldn't find a college with either hand, but they are so smart and so bright and work so hard and understand what makes the American consumer tick, that how dare they cast dispersions or even make a notation of people without a college education. What's that have to do with anything? I know people that carry master's degrees in business that couldn't find their shoes in the daylight. And, you know, they're just stupid. And so, you know, these college degrees don't mean anything except that whoever got them was either smart enough or dumb enough to go into about $170,000 to $5,000 worth of debt to get a piece of paper that allows them to get a better job. That was so irritating to me this morning. And then listening to some of the Democrats and some of the people, I had one person who I know closely tell me this morning that Hillary lost because she's a woman. That's the first for me. That's a first for me. That's the first time I heard that. I've just heard a lot of things. All I can tell you is that Donald Trump is faced with a situation here. And here's my prediction for Donald. He is either going to be the worst president that this country has ever had, or he's going to be the best president that we've ever had. He stands the chance of certainly being one of the best presidents we've ever had. I deplore the fact that he has both the Congress and the Senate in his corner, because I don't like that. That doesn't give any room for loyal opposition. But hey, listen, the American people spoke. The last time I looked, Trump was even winning the popular vote. So whatever. The American people spoke. It is now President Donald J. Trump. And it'll be interesting to see what the next 4 years bring.
You know, you're right, Larkin. And there's something that I didn't like on a few of the newscasts yesterday. Some of the people on these panels are dividing the American people by race, color, creed, ethnic origin, economic position. That has to stop. We have to be one America, the way America was 50, 60, 70 years ago, after World War I, when people came together, after World War II, after the Depression. We have to end all this. There's too many people got used to standing there with their hand out and demanding everything. And the people in America spoke yesterday. This is not what we want in the future. We want to earn our daily bread.
I don't care if they're college educated, have master's degrees, whether they own businesses or work for businesses. I don't care if they have one leg. I don't care if they have three legs. I don't care if they have four eyes. All I care about is that 49 million people decided they had had enough, decided that it was time for a change.
Larkin, what was the final count? Was it 52 million to 51 million or something?
I don't know. The last time I looked, he had 49 million, and he had just passed Hillary in the popular vote. I'm sure by now it's that much higher. I'm standing in the Jacksonville Airport, getting ready to fly to New Hampshire.
You are a lucky man, I'll tell you. I love that traveling around. I love it. Mark, tell us, what did you think of yesterday's results?
Oh, boy. How you doing, guys? Mike, I've never been more excited in my life. Larkin and Rich and Henry. And Larkin very, very well said what you've just said. And I did not like the way they, you know, again, I'm a blue-collar, work-with-my-hands guy and street smart. And, you know, we all are one. I took my wife, you know, Jackie and Brian, my one son, never voted. We went and voted about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. I got ABC, CBS, NBC, and then Fox on, and started watching it right through the night. Sorry, Larkin, for the waking you. I had a guy in Georgia, my Clyde with the movie, and Rich, and we were going across the country, everybody in each state that we needed, and it was just a great night. But the funny thing was, I fell asleep maybe about 2:40, and my father wakes me up 1 minute later. He's 80 years old, more excited than I've ever heard somebody, and my mom yelling in the background. That's never been any stretch. There's not a piece of politicalness in there, and they're excited. It was a heck of a night. Not much sleep. You know, I said a long time ago, my take on Washington, I'll go on, I'll do my bus speech, and I never really got political with the store, but I said, you know, if you're going to Florida with the family, and, you know, you're in your car, and you start to see a sign that says Canada ahead, and you got snow on your windshield, stop the car. And Donald Trump stopped the car. He stopped the vehicle. He stopped Washington. I give him a lot of credit, Larkin. You're right. Either way this can go. But, you know, he's a doer. He builds a skyscraper. You get it done. I think he's going to hire the right people, put the right people in the position, and start taking our country back. I think God stepped in. I think it's a miracle. I think our Constitution, our founders with the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, I think they were genius. I think the American people just spoke loud and clear, and everybody's shocked. I mean, the media, everybody is shocked. And
the
I think
pollsters
this is exactly
are shocked.
What we needed.
The pollsters are shocked. Larkin, you were right. No polls should be done until the day of the election. This was craziness for 6 months. Since the primary election, that's all they... Donald Trump, to be honest, he turned over the apple cart. The apples went all over the place, and now it's time for us to gather them up and enjoy them, either make apple juice or enjoy them in a pie or whatever. It's now up to the American people. I don't like the way the media has tried to divide the people, and I think we have to speak up about it. This the cities and the suburbs, everybody should be equal. We should work very hard to make America what it was and should be.
And, Mike, I just want to say one other thing. My mission statement for General Welding and Made in America Store is one team, one goal, get healthy, get self-sufficient by becoming the most positive, helpful team. And I think you're dead on. It's time to team up, the country get together, and let's start getting healthy again, get our country back in order, and continue to help the world like we always have. It's time to all get together and move forward. We cannot be divided.
You know, guys, I want to tell you, I believe that our little broadcast, which is all over the tri-state area and people pick us up all over, has done more in the last few years to unite the people than all the negative political campaign ads that they try to force feed us and fill us up with a lot of hate and anger. I believe that asking people to look at the labels, to start, you know, supporting one another, go out of your way to support local businesses has been more helpful. And I believe it helped Mr. Trump as he went around with the message, because people had already been spoon-fed this idea that we have to start working with each other. And Donald put the words in action and telling the people, we have got to sit down, look at all of the trade agreements and everything. This is what the people will be waiting for. Don't think for a second he's going to have an easy time. There's going to be a lot of pain in America, and I mean a lot of pain, because we've been already on the stretcher, ready, you know, in an ambulatory situation for 30 years. The pain to rebuild is going to be bigger than the American people have ever imagined, but at least it's going to have time to start rebuilding again. And I know that Rich Loges watched, he was out at the polls yesterday, and also he watched very attentively. Rich, how did you feel about the results?
Well, guys, good morning, and good morning to our listeners. And you know, I got a lot to say, Michael, and I wasn't exactly sure, you know, what my feeling would be about everything, you know, until it actually happens. But I want to start first, in no order of priority, to thank a bunch of people. You guys, first and foremost, for this show. I've had people tell me that this show changed their minds into how they voted, and change their minds to the right, correct side. I have to thank a good buddy and customer of mine in California, Nabil. He was one of the first people I knew who picked a Trump victory, one of the very first. I have to thank my friend Martin in New York, who's listening right now. He had people all across the country getting people registered, getting them registered to vote, bringing them out on Election Day. People who, in my opinion, are, in without exaggeration, heroes today for participating the way that they did. But, Michael, I want to start with something that President Obama said at the DNC that I 100% agreed with him on. He admonished the crowd at the DNC when he said to everyone and those watching at home, don't boo, vote. Do you guys remember when he said that?
Yes.
He said, don't boo, vote. Well, I'd like to send a message to the president. The votes are in, And you, sir, and your party got your asses kicked last night. Badly. And you got your butts kicked in my opinion, the most historic repudiation of leftist tyranny since the American Revolution. I want you guys to think about that and let it sink in for a moment. Sometimes when you're living in historic times, you don't realize that you're living in the history mark. But we've said it on this show that we are living in a historic time. And once again, American exceptionalism has shocked the world. Now, Larkin, the point about the Republicans taking over the Congress. Did the Republican Party deserve such a vote of confidence? Perhaps not. But the people have given them a second chance. And we're forgiving people. And the American public, the American voters have given the Republican Party a second chance. They better not screw this one up. They really, really better not. Because people went into that voting booth, independents, crossover voters, Michael, and those were the people that I said early on, and I'm not looking to take credit here, but I believed early on the only Republican nominee who had a chance for the crossover vote was Trump. He was the only one with a chance for the crossover. And all of the things that I thought would happen, I am so happy today that they did. Not because I'm right about it, but because the country got it right. And we live to fight another day. Our government is not a government of the majority. It is a government of the majority who participates. And our founders today, I don't know where exactly what they're doing. I imagine they're having a pint. They're probably laughing. You know, they're probably looking down saying, we told you so. You know, Tommy and George and Sammy and all those guys and Ben, they're all looking down going, we told you guys so. But you know, Michael, the real work, it doesn't start now. Voting in him last night is the start. He might be, Larkin, a terrible president. You might be correct about this. But I really believe that the alternative, more than ever before in the history of the presidency, I've actually never believed that there was a bigger difference. If you voted last night, Hillary Clinton, I want to ask a serious question. Serious question. In the interest of unity, I want to ask a serious question to our Democrat listeners. Do you have an inkling of a clue, just a tiny inkling, why almost 60 million Americans rejected your candidate? Do you have just the tiniest inkling of a clue as to why your candidate from a party that represents gazillionaires, celebrities, and globalism and collectivism was rejected last night? Do you understand why that is? So if you want to have a seat at the table, we need you to acknowledge why it happened last night. Saying that you're uneducated and you're white and you're Hitler, that's not how you get a seat at the table. It just isn't, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't. So if we're gonna have a moment after the wounds heal and all the meltdown, I watched meltdowns last night that I frankly never thought I would ever see. And those meltdowns came because it doesn't matter how much money she had. It didn't matter how much collusion the media did with between her party and herself and the mainstream media. It all didn't matter. What mattered was when it came game time, the American people, they read the playbook. They got in the game. They got the ball. And they got us into the end zone, Michael.
And you know, Rich, you're right. And all those negative ads for months and months did nothing to influence the people. As I was out at many of the summer festivals, people told me, they didn't tell me they were voting for Trump, but when I would say, I hope you'll be out voting in the general election, they would say, yes, I've already made my mind up. We never got past that. But I saw firsthand that people wanted change. In many cases, I already knew what they meant. There's another historic thing that happened yesterday. Many Democrats, Republicans, and independents all decided on Donald Trump as their candidate? Because when you look at the statistics, the Republicans have about 30% of the registered voters. The Democrats have about 30%. And the other 30% are independents. So the independents and many of the Democrats joined with the Republicans to make sure that this change took about. It came about, and now we are really in a situation where we have to work together, keep everybody positive, no more schmear-a-thons, none of that stuff. We have to create more jobs and more job skills and repair America's infrastructure, get our roads back to shape, our bridges, schools, industries, centers. Everything has to be back to where it should be. And working in human services, I want to tell you, and being out at the Veterans Parade and hosting that event, I have to tell you, those people want jobs. There was a sign that really upset me on Sunday at the event. It was about nine guys standing. And of course, I asked everybody to take signs down. We had a good crowd, very huge crowd. Was a group of men, and they had homeless vets for Trump. That was an unbelievable statement for me to see that.
Wow.
Homeless vets for Trump. And I thought to myself, you know, as I was sitting there on the stage, I thought, where do they vote? Where are they registered? If they're, you know, where are they registered? And, you know, afterwards, one man that was with the group, and he said, well, we register out of the shelter that we are in, but our men are very much in want of a change, and that's why we made this sign. It was made out of magic markers on brown cardboard, but very, very heartbreaking for me to see it. But I'm glad that I did, and we'll talk about our veterans during the second half of our broadcast. But as I said early on in the broadcast, it's time for us to heal and put it all behind us. And now we have to keep after Mr. Trump and all of the people that he will appoint to offices, so that the jobs, the job skills, the small businesses, the taxes, and everything else that he spoke about to improve America actually become a reality. This is also a call to action for us to become more involved, calling congressmen and senators, and not just listening to the rigmarole, the excuses that they've become so used to giving. Oh, well, we're working on it. It's on the table. You know, all this rigmarole that they give you. But actually demand results. Actually demand. I've heard it on the local stations this morning. Some stations that were very, you know, trying to be very neutral about everything. And this morning, they were saying the same thing I just said. We have got to get the people together, keep them together, and no dancing around for the new elected officials, which I've never heard the radio stations push, and no chance for the president, new president-elect, not to move forward with the things that he said during his campaign. That's one of the reasons, Rich, that's one of the reasons many people voted for Trump. They told me point blank this morning in the Wawa. They voted for Trump because Hillary gave them generalities, where Trump gave them more specifics, and he hammered away at it over and over again. Yes,
Michael,
Rich.
Can I just make one other point, guys? As a former journalist, I had, I guess, somewhat of a, I don't know exactly, a mixed emotions night, not exactly revelatory, but a bit of a poignant personal moment, you know, for me last night. It around 11:30 Eastern, when it became pretty apparent that he was going to get elected, I watched our network mainstream media outlets breathe their last gasps of relevance. And, you know, in the free market, when you're not doing so well and you're not serving the market well, you either improve your product and your offering or people go elsewhere. And I really think that one of the main things that drove this turnout is that for not the first time, but more than ever, the mainstream media, which WikiLeaks showed, which we all knew if we were paying attention, has colluded for years with the Democratic Party. It's a Pravda-esque propaganda PR firm wing of the Democrats. More than ever, people had elsewhere to go on the Internet to get alternative sources of news, different viewpoints. And the media really got beat at its own game this time around. Now, as a former journalist, I am a free and open press. I'm as staunch a free and open press advocate as one you will ever meet, because a free and open press is crucial to a free society. The reason the Pravda existed in the Soviet Union, Michael, was so the communists could give all the information to the people, and they had to believe it because they had nowhere else to look. Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propagandist, he created the quote-unquote news of Nazi Germany. Everyone had nowhere else to go. There was no cell phones, no internet. But now we have an incredible unfettered access to information, and yet nearly 60 million people last night sided with, you know, our version of tyranny. And that to me is frightening. I mean, I, again, I'm just being open and honest with you guys and our listeners. That's scary to me. It wasn't that it was a few million votes. It was nearly 60 million people. You know, if you voted for Clinton last night, you voted for, you know, for like our version of Mussolini, you know, Al Capone, Bernie Madoff, Jeffrey Dahmer. And that's who you went for last night. And sorry, I'm laying it on a little thick and dramatic here. I know that, Michael. But again, I want to ask our Democrat friends who are listening a serious question in unity. Do you understand why? Do you have an inkling? Not your feelings. That's, feelings aren't facts. Not the unicorn narrative and reality that so many of her voters live in. Do you understand? You have just a bit of an idea why. And if you don't, it doesn't make you a bad person in your heart, but it means you're living in a reality that is detached from everyone else. And it's going to be really hard, Michael, to unify when you got so many people who are living in a reality that is so detached from real life. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to say this as respectfully, guys, as I can, because I'm not going to back off my claim about what I said last week that I truly believe. I truly believe that the American left is the most dangerous group in the history of this country. And I think people last night, even if they don't understand all the history and all of those things, I think people last night figured that out, Michael.
Well,
I do.
You know, Rich, this has been going on quietly for months and months and months. Oh, as I said earlier, going to all the various festivals over the summer months and the fall festival, everywhere I go, people told me point blank, I've already made up my mind. And there is no way to change their mind. So I knew something big was going to it. The election really demonstrated that the American people are disenchanted with the many levels of elected officials, especially that because they allowed the loss of job opportunities and all the skills to go, and not caring about the schools and what happened to the kids that could have, you know, skills and be helping industries in America. They didn't care about it. Yeah, everything was not important. Yes, Mark.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Before you had mentioned, we don't need lip service. We need to really, now we know the work starts, and boy, it's going to take 4 to 10 years to get going here. But we got the hardworking American that goes to work every day, really bust their, you know what, really working, a doer, not a user, they spoke up last night, and I'm living right in this game. It's the toughest year I've had in my 32 years of business. We just passed it. We made it the toughest year now. The oil industry's dried up for us. Our juice plant industry dried up, and then again, it didn't snow last year. So a lot of plants. New York State's in tough shape, and I love that our new president's from New York. I'm hoping we get a decrease of regulation. We get help. We get work. We get we make this more operating. You had seen the commercials they run on New York that just aren't true. To me, that's the media again lying to the people. I'm living in this tough, tough times. I'm responsible for 66 family and employees. Larkin, you know how bad and tough entrepreneurship is. Just did a nice speech, and I told them, toughest thing you'll ever do in your life. We need help. America was built on business, entrepreneurship. The American people that work for a living, that are tired of carrying everybody else, spoke up last night. And Donald Trump is just the voice of them American people, and we've got to move forward as a team. But I do feel really, really good that this is the right step in the right direction. He was the outsider, non-protected American that actually had the guts to stand up at his age and do this, and I believe he cares and loves for America.
I agree 100%. I mean, I heard it in the even at the Veterans Parade on Sunday as I talked to people, and it was pretty chilly out there, but 5 hours out there was an education worth enormous amounts of money, because I had the chance to talk with people who served our country, who came back and really are lost. American want to know who's steering the ship to prosperity, not helping industries and jobs and livelihoods leave America with all these trade deals. That's why the people did what they did. When you look at the map, you're seeing a huge amount of America once change. You just look at the map. I never thought it would be like this, but then few people told me, you know, I listened to your show and you say that 10,000 people retire every day. I said, yes, that's a fact. You just go on the Google and Google it. And I said, when you talk about getting 175,000 or 200,000 new jobs, which really are replacement jobs for the people retiring, it's not even replacing the people retiring. So that's why we have a growing number of people not in the labor force.
Yeah, and if you see, Mike, last night, Western New York, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, this Rust Belt, I just met Kasich, governor of Ohio, and, you know, for them, people that work for a living in the union, people to vote for Donald Trump and for him to take them states, and what we're going through, them working class that has been so neglected, really stood up, and them are the ones that are forgotten.
Yep. You know, what was really very interesting to me, as I was getting so many robocalls to my house, I got various union leaders on the phone, calling around, asking me to support this particular candidate, many of them to me. And also, while they're on there, and don't forget Donald Trump. They didn't say vote for Donald Trump. They said don't forget to consider Donald Trump. And these are from union people. So I thought, wow, this is really becoming very interesting. But it just showed me again this past week with all of the robocalls, there is a change in America that has to be addressed. People don't want to be on welfare and all kinds of assistance. They want to earn their daily bread while they're young enough to do it. And then when they retire, they can retire with honor, knowing they worked hard, paid into the system. And they also, everybody keeps telling me about the health care. Health care is driving them nuts. Before, when they had Blue Cross and Health Partners or whatever, everybody had some idea what is going on. Under this new system, you sign up, you either get a subsidy, you don't get a subsidy, you get more bills rising, sneaking up 16%, 20%, 46% each year of its enactment. Now I think that it's totally killed itself. So the people are suffering with all these bills and know where to pay the bills from. Mark, as a businessman, who walks in the door every day, you know the light bill has to be paid at the end of the month. If something happens, your plumbing has to be fixed. It's got to be fixed. You can't say, well, I'll do it next year. Maybe I'll have more money in the budget. It doesn't work like that. And that is why I'm really glad to work with people like Senator John Sabatina of Northeast Philadelphia. He did a wonderful job. He's the man who presented the American-made proclamation for the state and put it out. And many of all of the senators in the state signed it. It went to the House. I'm promoting it. You can read the entire proclamation on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. It's right there on the front page with our November event and the proclamation. These small people now have to be united to become part of a large group of people who are going to steer America to prosperity.
And Mike and Michael. Rich and, you know, Larkin, I don't think a lot of people, and I think, Rich, you mentioned this, but they don't understand what we're really talking about, how hard it is, what's going on. Like the Obamacare, it doesn't work. I was paying over $200,000 in health insurance. I just had to cut $100,000 out on my good people that work hard and crawl on the floor for me. Larkin, you've met them. And I had to cut their benefit because I can't afford to pay this health. It is not working. So a lot of people, like you've talked, they live in a bubble, Larkin, or we all agree, these people got to wake up. They don't know what we're talking about. The health system did not work. It's a failure. It's an 8-year failure. It doesn't work. We have to make it easier to do business.
And you're right, Mark. How do you ever say to someone,
they don't understand.
You have to read it. You have to pass it before you can understand it or read it. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they
all of this has to be stopped.
At this event to go to, you know, throw these free concerts. No. I mean, they got to know what we're going through as a business in the United States of America. These small businesses and what they go through weekly. We do a numbers meeting. We get together, five of my people, every Thursday, spend 4 to 6 hours together just watching the expenses, the income statement, what's coming into the business, what's going out, because the expenses are just you're throwing your money into a bonfire. You don't get that back. And then you got the asset side, which I say the auction side, because that's what you're going to auction off if you go out of business. So you got to really live these businesses. We need help. We need help in the form of work, less regulation, easier to get capital, lower interest for our country first. Then we'll help other people. We don't need the corruptness that's out there. The zillionaires becoming even bigger zillionaires, hiding their money in Ireland for 4% tax.
And Mark, and those people, and Mark, if I may say, okay, to your point, Larkin's point earlier, the vast majority of those people you just said voted for Hillary Clinton last night.
Yeah, they don't get it.
Okay, that's who the Democratic Party's most significant bases.
And it's almost
really,
half the country.
You want to really, you know, narrow it down, right? If you talk about who gets where the money comes from. I mean, just wait, Michael, until the campaign finance records are all out and done. The latest numbers I've seen are that, you know, the billionaires, remember the ones that the Democrats are always out, you know, we want to, right, rah-rah against the billionaire. They funded Clinton's campaign over Trump's by a number ratio of 20 to 1. Billionaires.
I think it was $2.5 billion she spent, Rich, to hardly anything.
That didn't come from people living in Flint, Mark.
Wow, is that what it really was? I didn't follow.
It's over $2 billion she spent on her campaign.
Oh.
So healthcare, Michael. Look, Larkin said before about being the worst or the best, and if we get somewhere in the middle, we'll be better off, certainly, right? And Trump, like all presidents, Trump's going to inherit. He's going to inherit the problems of the prior president. Obama inherited, look, George W. Bush, like him or not, was a big spender. Okay, compassionate conservatism and all that. He was a big spender. So Obama took on. So even if you give Obama a few years margin of error, which, you know, in fairness to the president, you have to. You give him a few years of a margin of error, a couple years, okay, 2 years. Let's give him the first two because he had all Democrats, just like Trump's going to have all Republicans. Even taking that away, Obama has spent and run up the debt with the Congress. Got to put that include this to be fair. With the Congress and Obama, he's spent more in debt than every president before him combined. So Trump is going to inherit a really big mess. healthcare might be as big a mess as he can inherit because healthcare is our next bubble. When the banks went to Congress and said, you opened up, deregulated the industries, we gave money to people who couldn't afford to pay it back, we're out of business, give us taxpayer money. Both of the parties, especially the Democrats, said, no problem, here's TARP, here's billions of dollars, let's give you a bailout. You don't think the health insurance companies are getting ready to do that, Michael? You don't think they're getting ready to go to Congress and say, well, Mr. President, President Trump, Obamacare put us out of business, but they're getting ready to do that. So they could go in front of Congress and say, we got forced into this law, and we're out of business now. So I understand Donald Trump wants to repeal and replace Obamacare, but you got to have something to put in its place.
Well, I would suggest, and I hope, that they have been working on it, and I know that the bill has to be revised somewhat. There are some pieces of it that are fine, but there's a lot of it that can't continue. I mean, pre-existing conditions and all those were, you know, very important to what the bill was about. But the rest of it, there was too much. There was no room for competitive companies to come forward. It was just, you know, vote on it and then we'll talk about it. That's not what this should be. I think this is a time, and because Trump is not a politician, maybe he's going to have to say, I want everything presented to the American people so they know what is going on. Yes, we elect 535 representatives from all 50 states in the House and Senate, but how about the American people? Where do they get educated about the bills that are going to be? Transparency is really something that Mr. Trump should focus on.
And Michael, if I may say, okay, and I said this again on the show, the Republican Party as we knew it recently, modern era, post-Reagan, is now extinct. And now what the Republican Party has to become, because they've got a second chance that frankly they really don't deserve, but the American people gave it to them. Who am I to say that the American people are wrong? Okay, the American people had their say. They decided. They voted Trump. They voted. And their logic was very intelligently, if I may add, if we're going to elect Trump, we better elect Republicans, right? That was that's a logical decision to make, okay? And I think a lot of independents went that way. I think a lot of crossover voters went that way. So the Republican Party now has a position, has an opportunity, rather, that is, I mean, it's really historically unprecedented that they can now reshape, rebrand their party as a party that truly works to distinguish themselves from the Democrats, that they really work, you know, night and day to work to distinguish themselves from the Democratic Party. You got to work with each other. If I am, you know, and again, if Curtis is listening there and he can get a bit of advice to President-elect Trump, here's one thing that I'll offer some advice. I would call every single member of who's going to be in Congress when I'm president. I would call every one of them, Michael, every one of them, the ones who got reelected and the ones who ousted the incumbents. Everyone who's going to be in that Congress come January 20th when he's inaugurated, I'd call every one of them, including the Democrats. Don't give the opposition party a reason to oppose, right? Don't give them a reason to oppose you again. Extend the olive branch. This is where you got to. This is where right now, all of the concerns about Trump, and there are many. There are many about how he'd be as a president. Okay, most Trump voters I know, he wasn't their first choice. This is the chance now to say, okay, the way I'm going to start my presidency is before I'm even elected, before I'm even inaugurated and sworn in, I'm going to contact every member of Congress, and I'm going to say, let's talk. And if the Democrats, if certain Democrats don't want to meet with him, Michael, don't want to talk to him, at least you extended the olive branch.
And, you know, Rich, I'll tell you, I would like to know, quite frankly, if they would put up a site that would announce, I've had meetings with so-and-so and so-and-so for their constituents to call that particular congressman or senator, and also list and for a particular agenda item. And if the congressman or senator does not want to participate, also list that on there. I called them and they were not interested to participate because.
So don't forget that Mitch McConnell kind of set the standard when he stood up upon the day that Barack Obama was elected and said he will not get one piece of legislation by us.
Very shameful. That was shameful that he did that.
And I understand the two wrongs don't make a right. But I agree with Rich. Trump has got to reach. He's got to call every single one of them. That's probably 500 calls, but he's got to make every one of them.
And I think that our suggestions will be heard, and if the people listening call their particular congressmen and senators, it'll also help make a difference. We're in a very difficult situation. As I said earlier, we're going to have a lot of pain in America trying to get back and move up the ladder again. Everywhere you go, you see for rent, for sale signs on empty buildings. How did it ever happen? Why did it happen? How did we allow it to happen? Mark, you ride in your own community. How many of those signs do you see?
Yeah, and you know, you're right, and you got to get an understanding of what happened before you can fix it. I hope our new president brings integrity back to Washington so that we, the people, trust Washington again. And that's going to be the biggest job ever, where we can all work together and trust Washington again. We have to. He's given me hope. You know, I'll say it, and you need some hope. When I opened the Made in America store April 3rd, 2010, everybody told me, just 600 people showed up that day. You give me hope, you know. So I've got hope after last night. I'm fired up. We've got hope for America, and I think that's great. And people need hope, and we just got to take one day at a time. We all know there's a lot of work. Mike, thank you for your show, because I think as a team here, and as a family we make a difference. And I think the people, our grassroots movements, I pray the new president says, go out and buy Made in America products. And he's not ashamed to say that.
Oh, I would love that.
I mean,
you know,
why not?
Curtis Ellis, that may be happening.
Why not? And I think he could do it. I think he could do it. Why not?
And for all of our listeners, by the way, when you go on that site, you'll see the American Made Month agenda, the schedule of the agenda. And by the way, the holiday season is quickly approaching, and your example and your encouragement will certainly make a major impact on the way things are done in America. The businesses have to see that the American people want products with USA labels. As I said many times in my travels, I see products made down south that are made in the USA, but I never find them up in our northern stores. That's got to stop. We've got to circulate more of the American made, because those people down south have a job. Maybe they would bring in more people to those particular industries and then circulate those products up north and west coast or whatever. We got to get all on one sheet of music and start playing in harmony.
We can't just send checks out and people just collect checks. Like you said, Mike, most people want to work, provide for their family. We've got to create jobs where they can go work and feel like they can grow and live the American dream, whatever that dream is, and whatever level. But they can go provide for their self and family. Our president needs to lead us to have them jobs so they can do just that. That'll take care of a lot of problems. We can't just send checks to them.
That's right.
We can't make them $9 an hour jobs either. Let's face facts. There is going to be no wall built. There is going to be no wall built. Can't be. It's impossible. Virtually impossible when it was suggested. There are not going to be 8 million immigrants thrown out of the country. Impossible. Well, it isn't going to happen. Can't do it. Physically impossible. But we can put people back to work.
We can
create a WFPA type of situation and work on our infrastructure with money from the Defense Department. And I know that's heresy from a moderate Republican, but we spend way too much money in defense. And if we just took 30% of that and gave it back to the civil engineers that run the Defense Department and told them, fix our infrastructure, that would happen overnight. And I don't want $10, $15 an hour jobs. I want $20, $30, $40 an hour jobs so that you can support families with it, and we can build some respect back into the fathers and sons that make up the citizens of this country. I mean, it's absolutely just that simple.
Larkin, I'm going to ask if you would, for next week's broadcast, if you would see how many people are registered to vote and how many actually came out in yesterday's election. I mean, it's going to take a couple days before that's really announced, and it's the facts and the figures.
It was huge. It was absolutely huge. And it's the way every election that we have should be conducted. There's no reason not to have voted in Florida, for God's sake. 2 weeks, 12 hours a day, the polls were open for early voting. 2 weeks, including Saturdays and Sundays. No reason why somebody in Florida didn't vote.
No,
but,
no.
You and Rich have a lot of friends, though, Larkin. I see them last night.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, it's getting close to the time. I just want to mention to all of you that this Friday, November the 11th, is Veterans Day, and a great opportunity to honor all who served in America's armed forces. This past Sunday, I had the pleasure to be part of the Philadelphia Veterans Parade in historic Philadelphia and also host the Honors Program as we honor 20 veterans for outstanding program. I want to also compliment Judy Burns, who was involved with the Philadelphia Honors Program. She's a coordinator for the veterans organizations for the Philadelphia Parade, and also want to compliment Mr. Lenfest and Congressman Brady, George Perez, Joe Griffiths, all of these people who do wonderful work throughout the year to make sure that the Veterans Parade is a great success. They did an enormous job and gave out a tremendous amount of our flyers. Guys, they could put them up on poles, and you're wanted for all of your good work here on American Workers Radio. Do sit back, relax, listen to what they have to say in the media, but also remember the American people have spoken and they want change. Also, check out the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com where you'll find our November American Made schedule and also the proclamation presented in the state of Pennsylvania by our newly reelected Senator John Sabatino. Well, guys, can I have some final remarks? Larkin.
Yes, it's a new day in America, and all we have to do is take a deep breath and move forward in the right direction. They're announcing that I'm about to take off.
God bless you. Have a good, safe trip, Larkin.
Alrighty, good out there.
Mark.
All the listeners.
I just want to say again, Veterans Day this Friday, thank a veteran for our freedom. I'm having a first 5K run up here in Buffalo, New York, Saturday. It's the first time we had a fall veterans run. So God bless. This is a very exciting day for America.
God bless you, Mark, for all you do. And Rich?
Michael, thank you to all of our listeners and everyone. A little bit of advice. Turn off the political news for the next 2 months, please. Everyone take a break.
Good advice, Rich.
God bless all of you. Enjoy Veterans Day. Go out and salute a veteran. And don't forget to check out Mark's store, Made in America store. It's linked on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. God bless all of you until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11. I wish you and yours the very best. Barbara will be back tomorrow at 11 and also on Friday. Have a great weekend.
God bless America, guys.